Blog Talk Radio.
From Ajijic, Mexico, on the shores of beautiful Lake Chapala, it's Music Sin Fronteras. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan. This is your show, and we like our guests to be able to talk with you, but today we can't because we actually recorded this interview in our studios here in Ajijic yesterday. So if you have questions, email us at musicscenefronterasmx@gmail.com, and we will forward them. Well, I want to welcome our listeners on the CyberStationUSA.com network and their radio affiliates in the East Coast of the United States, and also the Artistic Echoes and Canal Side Radio Networks in the UK as well. Of course, everyone here on Blog Talk Radio. If you're listening to us on a podcast or in England, you can still email those questions for our guests. We will forward them to the guests and they can reply directly to you. And of course, as always, we are in Mexico, which is a joyfully musical and somewhat noisy country. Our studio is downtown, and our soundproofing is pretty good, but you still may hear the odd gas truck, marching band, horse, or just plain people coming out of the bar across the street singing. You know, it's all good. Yesterday, I had the honor of interviewing three members of Mariachi Estrellas de Chulavista, sitting on the couch right across from me. Sitting on that couch was trumpet player and band leader Michel Vasquez, violinist Alejandra Cobrales, and the band's founder and also a violin player, Mark Fogelquist, who, as you can tell, is probably not Mexican. They were here in full mariachi charro uniform, and we're going to talk about that a little later. And they caused a little bit of a stir when they walked into the building. Local people knew this was a very serious mariachi, and Mexicans take mariachi very seriously. Mariachi Estrellas de Chulavista was formed in 2011 by graduates of a high school music program. The program was called Mariachi Chulavista, and it was in Chulavista, California, which is in San Diego County. The Estrellas wish to continue to rehearse and perform their mariachi music at a very high level, which is what they do, as they went on to college and university or out into the world of work. Mariachi Estrellas de Chulavista has gone on to establish a legacy of one of the United States' best mariachis. They performed at more than 1,500 events. They placed first place in the 2014 and the 2016 Mariachi Spectacular Competition, which is held every year in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And also, they were first at the 2012 Por Amor Amiga Tierra competition in Guadalajara, and that's a big deal in Mexico. They're on tour now in Mexico, and they will be playing here in Ajijic tomorrow at the Lake Chapala Society, which is only two blocks from our studio, so I just had to go out and interview them. Well, since this is a pre-interview, we will go from me talking live to me talking with them on tape, and of course, we will play their music. So here we go. This is Mariachi Estrella de Chulavista, sitting on the couch across from me yesterday. Mark, first of all, thank you for joining us today and bringing these two wonderful musicians with you. I appreciate that very much. And I know there are more. How many more are there in the band?
There are 12 total in the group.
12 total, wow. You're a graduate of the best ethnomusicology school in the country, UCLA. Is that where you first encountered mariachi?
Actually, I heard mariachi music when I was a boy. I came, spent a summer in Guadalajara when I was 13 years old. But when I went to UCLA as a music student, I found that they had a class in mariachi music, which was the only class in the world at that time in mariachi music.
Wow, not even at the Universidad de Guadalajara.
Oh, no.
Oh.
They still don't.
The birthplace of mariachi doesn't have a class in it?
I don't think so. Maybe they do now.
They must. You know, that Universidad de Guadalajara now has 285,000 students. So it must have a class tucked in there someplace. Anyway, for our audience, What is distinctive about mariachi music?
Well, the first time I heard mariachi music, it hit me like a bolt of lightning. And I think it was the combination of the instruments, the particular sound that these instruments create. You have the vihuela, the small guitar, which is a very, very strong rhythmic instrument, and it cuts through all of the sound of the other instruments. You have the guitarrón, the big, bathtub-shaped bass instrument. It has a distinctive sound. And then the contrast between the violins, a sweet melody sound, and the brilliance of the trumpets. Combining violins and trumpets is just a crazy stroke of genius.
It's actually not like any other regional form of Mexican music, isn't that correct?
That's correct, yes.
And I know it originally developed in the 1700s, early 1800s, as a theatrical form. Is that right?
The groups that came from Spain to the entire Spanish world, in the New World, consisted of two violins, a harp, and some form of guitar. It would have been like a standard rock combo, in the United States. You'd find them in every town. And this combination of instruments, two violins, some form of guitar, and the harp, was found all over the Latin American world.
And, of course, there have been additions since then. I've seen mariachis with trumpets, with accordions, and you mentioned the harp, naturally. Are those still true mariachi bands?
Well, the trumpets came in the 1930s. 1929, the first group had a permanent trumpet player with them in Mexico City. And within the space of 10 or 12 years, the trumpet became accepted and it became a standard instrument. The little vihuela, the folk guitar, was augmented by a six-string, the normal standard guitar. And then when the trumpet came in, it changed the balance, and so they increased the number of violins. So the standard mariachi now, full mariachi, would be six violins, two firsts, two seconds, two thirds, two trumpets, some groups now have three, and then the guitarrón, the vihuela guitar, and for the groups on the top end of the harp, they maintain the harp.
Okay. When I ask you about women in mariachi, now I know that women joined mariachi in the 40s, long before you were born,
yeah.
but we still see an awful lot of all-male mariachis, and I still hear a little talk occasionally that women really shouldn't be in mariachi. Is that all gone now?
No, I believe there's still some talk about that, but most groups have girls in there.
Okay, and of course the Latin Grammy last year was won by an all-girl mariachi band, Florida Toloche.
Yes, they're like a more modern mariachi.
Yeah, more modern. Well, that brings up an interesting question, and maybe for the two of you can answer that for me. In at least the Los Angeles community that I'm familiar with, mariachi has evolved and developed in lots of different ways. There's now bands like Mariachi Manchester, which incorporate English rock and roll. There's Las Cafeteras, which brings mariachi bands in with some hip-hop attached to it. There are mariachi jazz bands. Are those still true mariachis? Is that a natural evolution, or you kind of wish they hadn't done it?
I personally wish they haven't done it just because I grew up with, Mr. Volker that took us to see big groups, and he taught us the real sound of mariachi. So when people just come and they try to bring hip-hop into mariachi, it kind of bothers me in a way. So.
How about you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I believe everything that was made a certain way should be kept a certain way because it's the combination that makes it beautiful, and when you start messing with other things, it's not disrespectful, but it's especially for the pioneers that were raised during those times of the golden era here in Mexico. To them, it's really disrespectful because you're messing with their music, It's like somebody trying to rap over Beethoven or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure those people would take it into offense, but I understand why they do it, because people always want to keep up with trends, and they want to keep the audience, you know, involved, and that's why all this music is mixing as well, you know, because especially over there in the United States, if you play a Frank Sinatra song as a mariachi or any popular American song, obviously the crowd's gonna like it, and your group will probably get hired more, you know. But if we're talking about it being maybe a little disrespectful, or maybe I don't like it. I like it the original song because that's the way it became what it became. You know.
All right. Well. Well, now that I know where you stand on that side of that discussion, we can go move on from there. How did you first get involved in mariachi?
I got involved in the middle school program. I was in an orchestra, and my classroom was right next to Mr. Walker's classroom. And one time I just peeked in there, and I was like, oh my God, like, this sounds so great. So then I went to the office, and I was like, I want to request a major change. So then I started mariachi with Mr. Focus in middle school.
Okay, and how about you?
Same, we actually started in the same class.
Mm-hmm.
We started in the same class, yeah. Same thing, middle school. I had art in two grades, seventh and eighth grade in middle school. Seventh grade, I had art, I didn't like it. In eighth grade, I was just going to join my friend. It was going to be something casual, and I ended up falling in love with it.
So where are you now in your lives? How about you? Are you in college?
I am in college. I study child development because I want to work with special ed kids.
Is music involved in your child development studies?
I take some music classes just for like ear training and music theory, but okay. My major is child development.
Okay, and how about you? Where are you?
Same, I'm in college as well, but I'm not studying music or anything, but I'm still undecided in that area, but right now I'm just enjoying what I'm doing.
Okay, so, but mariachi is embedded in you. You're always going to play it?
I love
mariachi fever. I find
all your favorite sports teams never go away.
Okay. Now, you say, how many people did you say? 12 altogether?
12, yeah.
Plus you and your wife?
Well, I'm one of the 12 in the group.
Okay, all right.
And then there's some friends that have come along, too.
Okay. So. Moving bands around the country, around any country, is not an easy chore. And also to not go bankrupt in the process. How do you do this? How are you managing to move 12 musicians around Mexico and come home with 12 musicians and not bankrupt?
Well, we did, when I was at a high school group, we would go out and play every weekend. And all of that money went into the NASB account. So we, my high school group would do 150 paid gigs every year. All that money would go into an ASB account, and the travel that we did was determined by the amount of money we made. But we would go to at least 5 major festivals a year: Tucson, Albuquerque, Fresno, San Jose. We went to we did a tour of the Rocky Mountain states, sponsored by Sinclair Petroleum. We did the Smithsonian Folklife Festival in Washington, D.C. We were there for a week. All of these expenses were covered by what the group took in performing. And so the group, it was a two-pronged approach. The kids got good because they were performing constantly. And they also made money, which allowed them to get better. They were able to go to these festivals and see the top professional groups and hang out with the best mariachi musicians in the world. And so when it became an alumni group, then I would sit down at in September and say, well, do you guys want to go to a festival? Do you want to go to Jalisco or some other place? And if the answer was yes, I'd say, well, start saving your money. So, in other words, by that time, the group was continuing to perform and even more, but everybody got paid. And so it was up to everybody to set aside the money to make the trip possible.
You just said the two rarest words in popular music: everybody got paid. And which tells me that mariachi, because it's a celebratory form of music, is often paid for by people who want to celebrate. Is that correct?
Exactly. Last year, the Misael's going to have to do the accounting for this past year, but the year before that, we did 190 paid jobs, or more, no, more than that, more 210 paid gigs. So, I mean, there's a big demand for mariachi music. It's not like rock and roll where you can get, if you make it big, you can get rich.
Yeah.
But there's a constant demand for it, for, you know, all of the social celebrations in the Mexican community. And San Diego has a large, Southern California is a terrific place to be.
Yeah, well, it used to be Mexico, so it's not surprising, right?
Wow, 210 concerts a year. That's almost one a week. I don't know of any band that does that. And I don't know how they do it, and I don't know how they do it so well with that kind of brutal schedule. And by so well, I want to give you just a little sample of what their music is like. We're going to play Ojos Españoles, which is the Spanish Eyes. Tell why they win all those prizes, how good they are. I just love that. You can hear the emotion and the romantic tension in the violins and the love in the vocals and in the trumpets. Incidentally, as Mark pointed out, trumpets weren't part of the original mariachi instruments. They were actually added to mariachi bands in the 1950s. To compete with the emergence of Cuban music in Mexico that used trumpets, and audiences just love trumpets, which tells you that, you know, mariachi has evolved over the 200 or so years it's been part of the Mexican cultures. In some ways good, and in some ways, as you heard, controversial, as we just discussed in the first interview segment. But right now, let's go back to the interview, because I want to talk, or I have talked, with the musicians about those great charro uniforms that they wear, and also their upcoming concert here in Ajijic. Here we are.
Have you ever played in the International Mariachi Festival in Guadalajara?
Yes. We've come 14 times. I've brought my high school group, I think, 10 times, and then the alumni group, this group that you're seeing here now, four times.
You must have loved it. It must have been heaven for you. Yeah, I was there this year. And were you guys here this year?
No.
Okay. All right. But the clothes you're wearing, the charro uniform, I think it's known as. You look like you're wearing the gold-plated versions of the charro uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's different styles. Every group does its own design now. You know.
They do.
Yeah, all colors and all different types of things. They mess around with.
Does every group have shoes as shiny as yours?
Yeah, Hopefully.
That would pass inspection in the Army.
Yeah.
Right? But,
well, this is actually a new suit we just started making, so that's why everything looks still pretty new.
Did you design those uniforms?
Yeah, so well, I mean, these are pretty standard, but we just kind of put everything together.
Okay. So our audience knows that this is really a kind of a special way of dressing. Could you name the parts of the uniform you're wearing?
I don't think they really have.
Well, it's either the pantalon has that. This is called a greca, which is an embroidered adornment. You can have the metal buttons, which are called botonadura, like this. The pants are pantalones. You have the vest, which is a chaleco, and then the coat is called a chamarra.
Which
simply means jacket, and the botines. Mm-hmm. Botines are, they're low, they're boots that don't come all the way up.
And the tie.
The tie is the moño.
The moño.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, and you left your sombreros at home.
Yeah.
Well, the sombreros are hard to carry around.
Yeah. you're going to be playing a concert this weekend. Right here in Ajijic. And I'm just kind of curious, how is it that Ajijic got added to your tour schedule?
Well, I have been coming, my wife and I have been coming to Ajijic for about 15 years because friends of ours bought a house here. And so we come down to visit them. And so I got to know the town, would walk around, and got to know the Lake Chapala Society. When the group was unable to come to the festival, the mariachi festival in Guadalajara, because it coincided with the first week of their classes, I said, well, why don't we go to Mexico? We're paying our own way anyway. We pay our own way to go to the Guadalajara festival. Mm-hmm. We can go anywhere we want. And so I said, I've been going to Ajijic for years now, and I love it, and thought it'd be a great place to have a concert. So I contacted the Lake Chapala Society, and they thought it was a great idea. And this is the fifth time we've done it.
Okay. So you two know Ajijic
fairly
well.
For our listeners, Guadalajara and Ajijic. Oh,
okay. Okay, well, I'm sure he will guide you around. There's a lot here. If you get a chance, how long are you going to be here?
We'll be here till Sunday.
Sunday, so you won't really get to dive into the music community here much.
We did a little walking around. We hear a few of them.
Try and take him to Casa Domenech. You know Casa Domenech?
No.
Up on the west side, it has become some of the best food and best jazz in Ajijic, Chapala area, run by an Argentine. But we won't hold that against him. It's really good.
We'll try not to.
Yeah. We were there last night for a jazz singer who was 18 years old and could stand up next to Ella Fitzgerald. Really amazing. From Veracruz.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, do that. The concert this weekend. You already know what you're going to be playing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Is there going to be any of the local dance groups with you?
No, there will be no.
Okay, so it's just pure mariachi. Okay.
Yeah.
So how do you feel, since you played here before, you know that the average age in the chairs is going to be probably north of 65, right? does that you bother you at all?
Well, they appreciate it more than like people my age. You know, they're not really paying attention to it, but
yeah,
people,
they're on their phones.
They're on their phones. And their girlfriends or whatever, but they pay more attention. And then, well, as a musician, when you see somebody actually listening to what you're playing and not just kind of like letting it pass through them, you get more of a love for it and you enjoy it more,
Okay. Now, you just came in from Puerto Vallarta.
Mm-hmm.
You rode the bus?
Yeah, I rode the bus.
Was it scary?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it was going really fast.
I just drove in from Mazatlan and... Yeah, I've been on that road before, but it's always interesting for our listeners in Estados Unidos, in the United States.
Yeah.
In the United States, when we see a double yellow line, that means don't pass. In Mexico, that means this is the line that you drive on while you pass.
Yep.
Right. And everybody else just moves over to the breakdown lane.
Yeah.
And hope there's not a horse or a cow or a bicycle or whatever in your way. Yeah, the bus drivers are really they're crazy people, aren't they?
Yeah. You look like another truck.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got in the way of some of those. It was a little scary. But you're all here. And 12 people, 12 instruments, you probably take up, that's not easy for you to carry around. Does everybody carry their own stuff? You don't have...
Yeah, everybody's responsible for their own.
Okay, so...
Yeah. How are those travel cases?
Oh, really?
No backpacks and stuff.
Okay, yeah.
We don't have any, you know, it's not like, we don't have any electronic equipment. There are no speakers or amplifiers or anything like that. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, there are, you know, six violins, two trumpets, and then the guitars.
And the guitarons.
Yeah.
You don't plug anything in?
We don't plug anything in.
Just microphones?
Yeah, just microphones.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well, I have one other set of questions to ask, and then I'll let you go out and... go find music and tacos. Singing in a mariachi band. There's, and tell me if I'm wrong, because you're the expert, but I encounter a lot of great tenors. Is that customary to have a male tenor, sort of the lead singer in mariachi?
Well, the high male voice is very desirable.
Mm.
Most of the singers that make it big, you know, sing high. They're high singers.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some singers that do not sing that high. For example, Javier Solis was one of the great singers, and he didn't, you know, he wasn't up in the stratosphere.
Yeah.
Jose Alfredo Jimenez, who wrote probably 35% of the songs that are standards to this day, his voice was a normal man's voice, you know.
Okay.
And we have the advantage of having women in the group, they're actually singing in the same range that some of these men singers are.
Because you're up there.
Yeah, their voices are higher, but there are men singers in a lot of the mariachi groups here that have tremendously high voices.
Altos.
Yeah, they're that's very desirable.
Okay.
Because they pierce, you know, they're able to.
Are you singing?
Yes,
I am. Are you an alto?
You would be an alto.
Soprano, alto.
Well, they don't use, the women, female singers don't use the head voice, which is the soprano voice. It's all chest voice.
Yeah.
You know, except for, you know, the falsetto on certain notes. There are certain songs will require a falsetto note, and they'll use the head voice, but it's all chest voice. So.
Does it take special training?
Well,
yes.
I would say yes. I mean, most of the singers learn by doing.
Yeah.
They learn by doing. And when I was teaching, I had my classes vocalized. That was part of the training.
Yeah.
And people would say, "Why do you have better singers?" Well, because I work on it.
All right.
I teach it. You know.
But you're not like the heavy metal singers who have special coaches to keep them from damaging their throats because they do move up and down a lot.
Well, you know, some of the better, you know, the really great singers, mariachi singers, who are making, that's all they do. They don't play any instrument.
Yeah.
They'll take voice lessons. They'll study voice.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing you this weekend. I'll be the old gringo with the funny camera in the front row. Right? And after I heat, are you going home or what's your next stop?
We are going home.
Yeah.
Sunday.
We'll sign up. Enough for most
people.
Oh. You have to go back to work.
Okay. Well, that's what I hear from a lot of musicians.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. That's back to the real world.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for coming by.
And that's it. Now you know what to listen to when you encounter a mariachi. Incidentally, for all of you people who emailed, I know everybody got paid is three words, not two. Right? It's just so unusual to hear that. All right. So next time you encounter a mariachi, you've got an idea of what's going on there, whether you're at a concert or you're in a restaurant, or if you live in L.A., you're at the Mariachi Plaza. Mariachi is the heart and soul of Mexico. It reflects the country's troubled history of invasions and colonialization and revolution, but it also incorporates the joy of freedom, of family, and just plain having fun, which Mexicans do pretty well. It does it in a music form that is unique to the country. No other country has developed anything remotely resembling mariachi, but mariachi has spread around the world. No matter where you are, there's probably a mariachi band someplace near you, or there's going to be a mariachi band on tour, which you can go see. So don't miss it if you get the opportunity. And we have another opportunity here. We have time for one last song, El Gavilancilla. And this was recorded at the Lake Chapala Society last year on the same stage they're going to be on tomorrow. So here is probably what I'm going to hear tomorrow.
Have you ever played in the International Mariachi Festival in Guadalajara?
Whoops, sorry about that. Did that sound like they were having fun? And all of us who were listening to it were having fun too. Right? That's one reason why I love mariachi so much, because it is so much fun. Well, we're going to, I hope you've enjoyed this conversation, the conversation we have with the Mariachi Estrellas de Chula Vista. And I hope you get an opportunity to see them. That would be really wonderful while they're on tour, on one of their many tours. Okay, remember, 210 days a year, someplace they've got to be near you. All right. Unfortunately, right now, their music is not available online, although Mark tells me that they're working on that with iTunes. However, if you attend their concerts, you can get their CDs. And right now, the best way to hear their music is to go to YouTube. They've got lots of YouTube videos up, and of course their music is right there. Well, it's time to go, so let me remind everybody that you've been listening to Music Sin Fronteras with Patrick O'Heffernan. That's me from the Blog Talk Radio Network and from Cyber Station USA Network, and of course our radio affiliates here and in the UK. Like our Facebook page, follow our Twitter feeds, and get real-time updates on our guests. Our producer is Lars Christensen. Our program director is Jason Bartleben. And thanks to Michael for making sure we get heard in England. Download this and other Music Sin Fronteras programs at blogtalkradio.com. And, you know, we're also on iTunes. Tune in next week. We're going to be talking with Eros the Fool. And we're going to play some of his wonderful experimental jazz and electronic music. I saw him live here in Ajijic. This is going to be very interesting. And, of course, he's very interesting, too. In the meantime, from one side of the border or the other, check our Twitter stream and our Facebook page. We'll give you more information on Eric the Fool in next week's program. And right now, I want to say have a great musical weekend. We're going to leave you with Solamente Una Vez by Mariachi Estrella de Chula Vista. Tener un gran fin de semana musical. Solamente un vez, only one time. Tener un gran fin de semana musical. Have a great musical weekend and talk to you next week.